This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey there, friends. Go Tigers! Yeah, LSU are the national champions of college football, and I told you so. I don't often say that I'm right, but I am right often.
Every day.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Yes, how about those LSU Tigers? 42-25. I didn't realize that they would win, by what? I guess 17 points. I believe we said 10 on this show yesterday.
Yeah.
So congratulations to moi. Well, you were on Clemson's bandwagon, but that's cool. You're a Trevor Lawrence guy.
I get it.
Jake is not a Trevor Lawrence guy, but congratulations to LSU. We have to dismantle the Astros, and TV watching has been changed forever after the college football playoff national championship game presented by AT&T.
Ooh.
On the ESPN app. And maybe that's where we have to start.
Mm-hmm.
I watched most of the second half on the ESPN app,
mm-hmm.
and it was fantastic. It was really, really good. I mean, can you imagine yourself not having cable ever? Can you imagine yourself? I mean, you can.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we weren't doing the podcast and I didn't need to watch sports at the rate that I am watching them now, like, I totally could see it. I mean, I honestly, like everything that you get on cable, you can get streaming. I mean, again, it's this fascination with, you know, just having, like, at this point, if you have cable, you're really only in it for sports, because everything else on TV you can stream, essentially. Like, for the most part, you know, I don't know about, like, the Discovery Channel or anything like that, but, like, for all the
Discovery
mainstream,
Go,
yeah, like, all the mainstream stuff you can stream. So, I mean, the only thing that really is kind of questionable from time to time, and it really just depends on how much you want to watch and how far of a reach you're trying to get, is sports. I mean, if you're trying to watch, like, you know, some smaller thing and it's not streamed, then it might be on TV. Like, those are the challenges. But for the most part, for your average person, like I would rather, honestly, like, I would rather pay for like super fast internet and stream when I want to, game when I want to, and not have to pay DirecTV or anybody else. Like, it just makes sense to me.
Well, I can tell you that I loved it. Yesterday was a particularly long day.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the fortified compound of Yelp.com until like 7 o'clock last night. And so, you know, I'm listening on the radio. I get home, we have some dinner, we kind of hang out, we get a little drowsy, it's time to go to bed. So I laid up in the boudoir, where procreatorial activity happens, opened up the ESPN app, and I'm watching the national championship of college football on the ESPN app, and it was an awesome experience.
Uh-huh.
And to just see the way that they go about things is on the app, to see all the different views and to really get that experience, I thought was a significant difference. And I'll tell you, ESPN Plus this weekend, what's the big event this weekend? Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor's debut on the ESPN Plus is going to be fantastic. I'm telling you that the way we watch major college sports, major NFL games, all of that, it's forever changed now.
Yeah.
And I am, after the college football playoff national championship game, I'm all in. You know, we have smart TVs, you have internet, we have Netflix, we have, you know, Hulu, you know, all of these different channels have their own apps, HBO Go or HBO Plus or whatever the hell it's called. But you get my point.
Yeah.
You have access to everything that you want to have access to right on your phone and on your smart TV.
Right.
Why are we paying exorbitant amounts of money to cable companies?
I don't know.
Right. I'm a DirecTV guy, and I probably always will be a DirecTV guy. I can get the Sunday Ticket on my phone.
Mm.
Right. Like, if you subscribe to DirecTV, like, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and this is why I say you can imagine yourself watching TV on an iPad.
No, what I would do is I would not have DirecTV and I would stream it through my iPad and connect it to my TV. I mean, there's ways you can work around that.
Yes.
Like, you know, you don't always have to, you know, you don't have to have cable to get something on your 70-inch flat screen. And by the way, the other unspoken thing that I feel like nobody ever talks about is the fact that you can actually get a really high-end projector if you have the right setup, which is it looks amazing.
Isn't that how your friend Lance?
Yeah, but see, he was just shooting it on a wall, like, and you can do that, and
right.
It looks fine.
Right.
But I would say, like, I've seen some really nice setups where, you know, they basically run the internet through the projector, and it's just like it's the same experience you would have with having a cable company, because that's the other factor that goes into this, right? Because having a cable box, right, in the remote allows you to be really convenient and really easy. Turn the TV on, and it's just like at your fingertips. You can just kind of like ding, 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 whatever channel you want, right? Whereas with streaming, if you were streaming through your iPad, you just got to make sure you're tech savvy enough and you understand how to you know, I can't remember the proper word, but basically just from your iPad project
throw
it, on
it to your TV,
throw it
yeah.
to your TV
yeah.
and like do that. So I'm not saying that's rocket science. I'm just saying it might not be for everybody. So that's the only thing that I could see that will hold anybody back from cutting the cord.
Well, I look at the way that we watched this game last night. I think about the ways that, you know, we watch a lot of things now. And maybe it's because I work there, so I hear it a lot about the ESPN app, but I use the ESPN app every day to watch something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not accidental. It's now worked into my routine. So when, I mean, pick it. And here's a major difference. Like, I'm a Chelsea football fan, in case you haven't noticed the flag in the background.
Right.
I'm a huge Chelsea football fan. I have to pay to watch Chelsea football on the NBC Gold app or whatever that crap is called. It's
yeah.
terrible.
Right.
Right. And then it's not always reliable. On the ESPN app, there's always something to watch.
And
I can watch SportsCenter.
Reliable.
Yeah. I can watch SportsCenter. I can watch interviews. I can watch features, podcasts, listen to radio, like anything I want. I can listen to any ESPN radio station in the country on that app.
Yeah.
That's what we need, an all-inclusive sports app that allows us to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the future of TV. That's where everything's going.
Yeah.
And I think ESPN was a late adopter. There's no question
for sure.
about it. Like, we heard all about the cord cutting and ESPN now has completely changed that. My question is, when does somebody like Fox get on board, where they have an app that's more than just, hey, watch a football game?
Well, and being truthful, like, I don't have what is this, Fox Sports Go, I think it's called, right?
I don't know.
I think it's called Fox Sports Go, and I it's not on my phone. I've never looked at it, and frankly, I don't know anything about it. And so that tells you just how good it is. Like, it's not very good.
It's not very good at
you
all.
Know, like, if you and I, as sports people who watch stuff every single day, have to be kind of in tune with what's going on, don't have it on our phone, that tells you the reach it has. And I think overall, like if I were to think about, like, if we didn't do this show, if I didn't need to be plugged into sports, like, I probably wouldn't be plugged in as much. Would I have watched that game last night? You're damn right I would have. I was super into that game last night. I mean, it's a championship, right? But overall, like, I think about, you know, having it's packages like NHL Center Ice or all those extra things, like the Sunday League Pass, like all that stuff.
Home
those are things that those are things that I would say, okay, am I willing to lose those things? Well, yeah, right now I'd probably be willing to lose them just because I don't watch them every
but
day.
But you can buy them a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe on, you know, like the Major League Baseball website. You can, like, there's all kinds of things you can do. My point in bringing this up before we talk about the game is that I think the way we watch TV, it has been changed forever.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Now, as far as Go Tigers, LSU goes, my Lord, that was a beatdown.
Yeah.
Not only was it a 42-25 victory for LSU, it was a comeback victory. They were down 10 points, their largest margin the entire season. And then they just put their foot on the gas, and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow went nuts. And I think Joe Burrow made himself an incredible amount of money off the field last night. I think LSU is back as a brand. I think Trevor Lawrence now has to stay at Clemson and play. I mean, he will need to win a Heisman Trophy now. I think there will now be lots of questions about Trevor Lawrence, and this is what we usually do coming out of games like this.
Well, for good reason. I mean, he didn't perform last night.
He was awful last night.
Like, I mean, again, I don't think I never think it's fair to say, well, you didn't perform in this one game, so that means, you know, your draft stock's going to go down. But I do think you have to wonder, like, hey, this is the national championship. There's been a storyline all season long about how, you know, he's had kind of a down year. He had a rough start. Like, you know, I think it was I believe it was when they were in the Carrier Dome and they had played Syracuse. Was it Syracuse they were playing? And,
yep.
You
yes.
know, we were already talking about how he had thrown more interceptions this season than he did all of last year. And so this year just hasn't been a good year for Trevor Lawrence and Clemson. And so I just think, like, yeah, they didn't have a good year and they still made it to the national championship. Well, there's a lot that goes into that. But at the end of the day, he didn't perform at all last night. And I think Joe Burrow showed you everything you needed to see.
I would agree with that. And here's my question now with Trevor Lawrence. How much does Trevor have to prove now? And I do think that it is significant. I think last night going into this game, Trevor Lawrence was bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think had Trevor Lawrence won this game, had Clemson won this game, that he could have ridden off into the sunset. And he could have said, okay, I won 30 straight games, 2 national championships. All right, I'm gonna prepare myself for the NFL. And nobody would have blamed him for that. Now I think he has to play at Clemson, which he was going to do either way, by the way. But I think he has to play at Clemson. I think now he has to win a Heisman Trophy. And I think if he wants true redemption, he needs to go and win another national championship with Clemson,
mm-hmm.
which they'll be there again. The ACC is a puddle next right. to the ocean known as the SEC.
Right.
Like, the depth in the ACC is nil.
But I think it showed that last night. I mean, that's great. Like, they're going to get there, but
yeah.
that's not going to matter if you're in you're getting your ass handed to you 42-25. Like, that's not close. I mean, you came out early in the game and thought that game was over, and, you know, we're up by 10 and we're comfortable.
Well, it is the Trevor Lawrence blowing a kiss to the
yeah.
LSU fans. You're an arrogant dick is what that looks like,
yeah.
right? And I think
yeah.
now Trevor Lawrence has to come back and get some redemption. And I know that he is a Clemson Tiger. I get that. Clemson lost this football game. I get that. They gave up 42 points. I get that. But you were terrible, Trevor Lawrence. 18 of 37 for 234 yards, and you didn't throw a touchdown?
Yeah.
And yes, you ran for a touchdown. That's all well and good. But you were overthrowing everybody. At the one point he sacked himself.
Yeah, dude.
When he fell down thinking the rush was coming and it wasn't coming. Like, I mean, this was one of those performances where you're going to look back and you're going to say, Trevor Lawrence is the reason that Clemson lost this game. That won't be true, but it's a valid point.
Yeah.
That is a valid point. And
yes.
I'm not saying that he's the singular reason they lost this game. But he, in my mind, performing like that, Clemson never had a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and I think as a quarterback of the team, you bear that responsibility. When you play really well, you're the man, right? You're the front runner of the team, right? But when you play really poorly, and the team loses, you're going to catch that heat. And I think that's totally justified. I mean,
yeah.
how are you going to come out of a national championship game and play like that? I mean, that's just not good enough.
Well, and I really go back to the semifinal against Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
where he took a beating. I think the officials are the only reason that Clemson beat Ohio State, because I do think that fumble return for a touchdown that they reversed, I think that was a terrible call.
Right.
Like, I think now you have to question, would Clemson have gotten here had they played in the SEC, had they played in the Big 12,
no.
had they played in the Big 10, had they played in the Pac-12? The question is, would they have gotten here? And it's not that there's one team that's singularly better in each of those conferences, right? Now, we know that LSU is better than everybody, but that's the best team. That's the best college football team I've ever seen.
Right.
Okay? Even throw LSU out. If you look at, and I'll be a Pac-12 guy, if you look at the meat grinder that the Pac-12 is, right? And it's not that there's one good team. It's that you have to go on the road. It's that it's Friday night. And, you know, I think to USC several years ago that was going to play in the college football playoff until they went to Pullman and died at Washington State on a Friday night in the snow.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those are the weeks where you say to yourself, that's why Clemson, I think, had their season invalidated.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the war of attrition. And so when you play in a soft ass conference like the ACC, you don't have to
excuse
worry about
me,
that, man.
It's the already crowned Clemson conference, please.
Clearly, bro.
Thank
like,
you.
Clearly. I mean, I don't know how much more we have to talk about this for people to get on board with the idea that Clemson doesn't have to worry about attrition on their team the same way that teams in the SEC and the Pac-12 do. I straight up, like, I think the Pac-12 definitely does not get the respect it deserves. I think calling the Pac-12 a meat grinder is absolutely true. Like think about it. You know, like, Utah should have been in the playoff and couldn't beat Oregon. Like, they lost to Oregon.
Right, and I'm not saying that the Pac-12 is good. I'm not saying, but I think it's better than the ACC. What I'm saying is that any of these conferences, any of the Power Five conferences, Clemson doesn't win that conference.
Yeah.
And I think Clemson has trouble getting through the grind that is that regular season. So, again, it was a great run. It was whatever it was, 29 or whatever straight games. Great run for Clemson. And it came to an end just when it should have. Because I think had Clemson won that game, it would have been one of the most shocking results in college football history in my mind. Because LSU, again, let's focus on LSU. I think the redemption story that is Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron is remarkable. I look at Joe Burrow and I look at Orgeron and I say to myself, nobody wanted either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Joe Burrow went to Ohio State and couldn't play there or didn't play there or whatever you want to call it. Urban didn't want him. He winds up at LSU. And he has a mediocre season last year. Let's be very honest about it. Joe Burrow didn't blow anybody's doors off last year. And now he throws 60 touchdowns in a season at LSU in the SEC, including going to Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama. This is the best season any quarterback has ever had in college football. He won the Heisman. He won the national championship. He threw 60 touchdowns. I mean, he did everything that he could possibly do.
Yeah.
And he did it with class, and he did it with style.
Yeah.
He did it with humility. And now he's on to the NFL.
Yep.
And I look at Ed Orgeron, and I say to myself, this is a guy that nobody wanted, that Ole Miss didn't want, that USC didn't want, that couldn't get a job. And LSU took a chance on him. And now you see that them taking a chance on him was completely justified.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a great story, and I think it is at the end of the day, everything you want in sports. And so, I just can't get over the fact that, you know, we're sitting here talking about Clemson, you know, having this 29-0 streak or whatever it was. And,
yeah.
and really, that streak is made up and comprised of, you know, four real legit football games that they won against really quality teams. And the rest of it is just, you know, average teams that they should be, you know. And so I get it. 29-0, that's great, like, awesome. But I it's just not that impressive to me because mainly you didn't play – for the most part, like 80% of that, you didn't play anybody to write home about. Like, again, it was four or five games that you won against legit teams. If you had won 29 games in a row against SEC teams, okay, that's kind of a different story, right? That's kind of a different thing. But right now, I think you've been talking about this for a long time, that they're just not competition-wise, they're just not the same as other teams.
Yeah, and I think that was borne out last night on the field in New Orleans. Just a great win for LSU. You feel like this should be a springboard forward. Now, the question is, how do you do it again? Because no team in the college football playoff era certainly has repeated. You got to go back to Alabama in the mid-2000s during the BCS era when they repeated.
Yep.
I mean, it's really difficult. Joe Burrow is going to be out at LSU. Obviously, he's going to the draft. This is going to be a really tough trick for LSU to turn.
Yep.
We'll see how many guys off that defense leave, because that defense is really remarkable. They have a set of wide receivers that.
Well, and if you're a second tier guy on this team, like if you're not a star household name on this team, but you won a national championship with LSU, how are you not going to the draft? Like, how are you not riding that wave of positivity?
The NFL draft is a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
You know, when you play as well as they played, you know, you're going to, you know, it, and if you're not a senior, certainly you're going to have to go through the evaluation process, the pro day process.
Yep.
you know, the unbelievable NFL combine in Indianapolis.
Yep.
You know, I think the Senior Bowl makes a huge difference. I think you have so much NFL talent evaluators, so many NFL talent evaluators that are there and scouts, and I think it makes a huge difference. And if you're not a senior, you really now have to find your way and find the right path forward for yourself. But I think what LSU did is absolutely remarkable. A couple other things I want to talk about. How on earth did the Pac-12 officiating people have their hands on the college football playoff national championship
last
night?
Don't know, dude.
Like, I am amazed. Like, just the fact that the Pac-12 replay command center was in charge last night is terrifying. And this, again, and it's every conference, and it's almost every game, that we see blown calls and pass interferences that weren't or were or whatever. I look at the officiating last night, and I think they did a decent job. But I think they missed a couple of calls. I think they got a couple of calls wrong. And it's amazing to me that the Pac-12, again, finds themselves in a situation where we as a college football fan base are talking about the officials in that league. And I don't know how to fix it. I know that officiating is a problem, but the incompetence of the Pac-12 is remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, it is painful. Like I feel like through this season, whether we're talking about Utah or any of the other, you know, matchups that we've, you know, any of the other great matchups that we saw in the Pac-12 this year, officiating was always part of the conversation, and I think it will continue to be. I mean, I just think there's so much to talk about with the Pac-12 as far as the incompetencies of the conference, right? Officiating, how the conference is run, like, you know, scheduling, like all this stuff. And so the idea that you had, you know, the SEC and the ACC playing for a national championship, yet you had the Pac-12 officiating it is terrifying. I agree that terrifying is not too strong. In fact, I feel like that is kind of right on point. And especially when you consider how many times they've botched, like, situations in the Pac-12, the fact that you would give them the opportunity to do that in the national championship game is absolutely insane. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, is it just simply because there wasn't a Pac-12 team in the game that you chose Pac-12 officials? Is that
to be unbiased?
Is that to be unbiased? Is that why we chose Pac-12 officials? Because I can tell you right now, like, I was not thrilled to see that. I would almost rather see and I don't know if it's possible or not. I don't know that much about the way officiating works, but I would have loved to see just a mixed crew of SEC and ACC guys running the game. Like, I don't see why that's such a problem. You know, at the end of the day, you're officials. You're calling the game the way you're supposed to call a game. Like, what else is there to say?
Yeah, I know. It was just amazing. And the other thing I thought was amazing last night was the crowd and the passion and the energy. And it's one of those things that every time we have a college football game of this magnitude, and it was in the semifinals for sure, and I think when we had LSU-Alabama in the biggest games of the year, we always wind up asking ourselves, do we prefer college football or NFL football?
Mm-hmm.
And damn, for the first time in a long time, I'm really close to saying I prefer a big college football game over a big NFL game. Like, it is... There certainly is no regular season game that I would take in the NFL over this game last night. And, you know, it's shocking to me how attendance in college football is just dying. And the NFL to a lesser extent, but fan bases across sports are not turning out unless it's a huge game.
Right.
And on the whole, I think that I am slowly but maybe methodically is the word, shifting my allegiance to college football. Like, the more and more, because when I hear stories like the Carson Wentz concussion.
Right.
And I see the violence and I see the lethal weapon that NFL linebackers, let's say, have become, right?
Yeah.
I more and more find myself enjoying college football. I really enjoyed that game last night. And Ryan Jorgensen on Twitter was saying that it was boring, and I didn't think anything about that game last night was boring. Even the LSU hype video that they released of them smoking cigars to Snoop.
By the way, whoever has been shooting for them has had a hell of a year. I mean,
remarkable.
That is the, and I know who he is. I just can't remember his name. He's on Instagram, but I mean, You want to talk about that video he did? He did the video of Joe walk, you know, running out of the tunnel that's so infamous now.
With like, the X on
yeah,
the back of his
dude,
jersey,
like,
on senior
bro,
night.
Like, yeah. It's just been an awesome season for that guy.
But do you prefer college? Because you're an interesting case study, right? You're 26. You're a damn millennial. You have no life. Like, right. You never procreate. Like, you just sit home and play Call of Duty. I said duty. Anyway, the point is, are you more of a college guy or an NFL guy?
Well, I think when it comes to the college football national championship, yeah, I'm going to watch that game. Like, I enjoyed that game, but I'm not invested in college football for, you know, regular season games. It just doesn't do it for me. Like, it just doesn't. It's just as simple as that, right? Like, I went to ASU, the ASU-USC game at Sun Devil Stadium. Just okay. Like, it wasn't a great experience. Like, it just was okay. Nothing to really get excited about, you know? Like, I'm much more of a baseball guy and an NBA guy. I mean, that's just kind of what I gravitate to, and it's probably because we play basketball, and I enjoy the game, and I played college baseball, so that's probably why. But at the end of the day, when we talk about college versus the pros, like, I don't know. I like the NFL game a lot. I think their big regular season games are fun to watch and enjoy. So I don't know which one I prefer more. It just depends on the matchup.
Yeah, I'm right now I'm an NFL guy, but I have never been closer to saying I enjoy college football more. LSU Alabama this year was a game I could not wait for. Like, I was really fired up about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a Notre Dame fan, I mean, there are very few weeks where I'm not excited about that. It pisses me off that Utah and BYU are not going to play for several years so that Utah and Florida can play. Like, I love college football, right? Now, I'm excited for this weekend. You know, I'm excited to see Tennessee and Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you more excited about, an AFC championship game? An NFC championship game with the Niners and Packers, or LSU and Clemson? I'm more excited about LSU and Clemson. And I you know, that what's on the line in that game, I think is exciting.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess overall football's a brand. I'm not as invested in it as I would be like in the NBA. Like I and that's just me. I know that's crazy. I know football's number one for like everybody and their brother, but like I think football, like, everybody just obsesses over football. Like, no matter what time of the year, like, football is all anybody gives a damn about. And to me, I just think there's so many, like it's such a simpleton's game. Football is so easy to understand.
Right.
Like, and that's why I think people love it, right? Because it's fast. It's easy to watch. You can, you know, you can do anything and watch a football
game.
There's
great athletic ability.
You know, like, there's a lot in it. I get it. But at the same time, like, I just think there's like, I enjoy baseball for the little things. I enjoy the NBA for moments inside the game. Like, I don't know. I just enjoy those two sports more than I enjoy football. Like, I'm not going to waste a Saturday in the middle of, you know, November to watch college football all day when it's regular season games that, like, we're 6 weeks into the season. Okay, cool. Like we can watch one or two games, but I'm not sitting there spending my whole Saturday watching college football.
See, and that I'm not saying spend your whole Saturday.
Yeah.
But when it's LSU Florida, how are you not watching that game?
Yeah, I'm probably watching part of it.
When it's BYU Utah, when it's, you know, SC in Oregon, big college football, when it's Michigan, Ohio State, when it's big time football, I don't know how you're not watching that.
But is Michigan, Ohio State big time football? Was Michigan ever going to win that game?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, it, sports are very secular, so it will come back around that Michigan will be better once they fire Jim Harbaugh. Yes, you're still watching that game when you know that Ohio State's the better team. You're still going to tune in and watch that game.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's one of the biggest games of the year. And my point is that, yes, the NFL has important games, but there's more on the line last night than in any playoff game we've seen so far this year in the NFL. Like, that game last night, the money that Joe Burrow made himself last night on and off the field a year from now is significant.
So to me, it just sounds like you like the storylines in college football more than the NFL.
I like the passion. I like the fact that, well, I know every guy on that field's probably getting paid. I like the fact that they are having to earn their way to the next level. Because when you get to the NFL, you know, I'm Jameis Winston. I can suck and throw 30 interceptions, and then I can go out the next day and say I'm going to make $30 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, I just – I don't know. Like, you make me sick. Like, get out of here, right? Like, go. If you throw 30 interceptions in college, you're probably not going to have a job as a college quarterback next year, right, or next week, right? You'd never get to 30 interceptions in college.
Right.
You know, I like that. I like the fact that there's something about becoming a man in college football, right? Like, you have to grow up. Joe Burrow is a great example of that. He came from nowhere. He came from nothing.
Right.
And he went to Ohio State and tried to live his dream, and he failed. So he left Ohio State and went to LSU, and now he's the best quarterback, and he's arguably had the best season in the history of college football. And he won a national championship, and he won the Heisman Trophy, and he's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Those stories don't exist in the NFL because we're too busy talking about domestic violence, and we're too busy talking about this or that or cheating or all this other garbage that happens at the pro level because of how much money's there.
Right.
There's still something very simple about college sports, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there and, you know, kind of, you know, vet that conversation.
Right. Yeah. Look, I think like also this morning we've talked about like the ESPN app and like how you can view sports and things like that. And I think, you know, that's really helping the college football game. Like, I think, you know, being able to see all those games on your phone is a huge deal. But I just can't get over the fact that I'm just not invested in, you know, this game or that game. Like, yeah, it was fun to watch that game last night, but I can honestly say if you didn't need to watch it, I don't know that I'd be watching half the sports that we watch. Like, I don't know that I would be watching, you know, I can't think of an example, but like,
it's you're not a huge football guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
Let's just call it what it is. You're not. You would rather watch a garden variety NBA game.
Yeah, I would.
You would watch Warriors against, you know, pick the worst team in the league.
Yeah,
right.
I would.
The Warriors are the worst team in the league, by the way.
Which is hilarious.
You would watch Warriors Pelicans,
right,
instead of LSU and Clemson if you had your choice last night.
Mm-hmm.
You would. And I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge college football fan. I'm a huge football fan in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you and I are different, right?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, and again, I'm just, again.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. It's just the truth. Like, I think, like, last night is a perfect example. Like, if we didn't have DirecTV last night, if, you know, we didn't live together, we didn't do this, like, if life was completely different, last night I'd probably come home, let my dog out, make something simple for dinner.
Strengthen your form.
You know, like probably I could totally have seen myself playing a little Call of Duty last night, watching an NBA
Procreate
game.
Procreate with yourself.
Whatever it may be. So, you know, like,
are
it's
you not
going to
acknowledge my
no,
boyhood
I'm not,
fantasies
because,
or
I'm
why?
Not. No, I'm not. Like, I'm not. I'm not. You know, so, like, that's
Jake's
probably
like,
what
I'm
I would have done,
man.
Dude. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I probably, like... Like, if
you
I didn't
wouldn't
have
watched the game at all.
I probably would have had it on my phone, maybe, or, like, listened to it or something like that in
That's
the background.
Crazy.
But, like, I'm not like that. Like, it just doesn't speak to me the way it speaks to everybody else. Like, I don't freak out over football. Like, I just don't. Like, I think there are, like, I think the things that go on in a baseball game are like 10 times as complex as what happens in a football game. And that's probably because I played and I know the things that are going on and I can understand them better, but I get it. I'm on an island, but you know, that's just how I feel about it.
And the one sport I'm not crazy about is college basketball,
mm-hmm.
which we go full tilt into now.
Yeah. I feel the same with you.
You know, when the tournament comes around and the postseason comes around, okay, cool. I can get into
even
it.
Early tournament though. I'm not really all that into, like, I'm not like, I like the last two rounds of the tournament where you've got good teams that are playing good basketball. Like garden variety, college basketball is super slow, super uninteresting.
If you ever get another girlfriend, which I think is in doubt, does she have to be a sports fan? Because it's funny, Mrs. Monty said something to me on Sunday. She said, well, you know, I'm not as passionate about sports as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she used to be big time into football, and she's kind of not. And she'll watch a baseball game, but, you know, like, we're going to the Hawks game, Coyotes Blackhawks. Like, she's excited to go to that game. But I don't know, is sports fandom in this country waning? Because I know a lot of people who are not as hardcore as they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that there are other things. Like, listen, I think in general, generally speaking, I think as you progress through life, like, your priorities and your passions change, right? So 10 years ago, you were probably a little more passionate about one thing than maybe you are today, right? So
sure.
I think right now, in the landscape of our world, I think sports are more of just kind of an escape that people want to flip on the TV while they're, you know, doing stuff with their kids or they're doing A and they just want to make sure the game's on the TV so they can take a peek every once in a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why I say for us, like in our situation, I'm totally aware that our situation is totally unique. Like most people, but it's the truth. Most people, when they come home, they got to deal with their kids. They got to deal with this. They got to deal with that. So they're not able to just sit down and watch the game and like plug in. And I think that's why sports fandom is you know, dwindling a bit. And I think that's why when we talk about attendance rates and participation in the sport and where money is going and revenue generation is going, I think that's why people have other priorities than just going to a game or sitting down and watching a game, man.
By the way, the Stever's back in today.
Nice. What's up,
and
buddy?
And he uses procreatorial.
I love that word, dude.
You're welcome.
It's a great word.
The Stever says, I don't come here for sports. I come here for Jake's procreatorial activities.
Uh-huh.
The truth is, we're passionate about things that happen maybe 1 or 2 weeks a year in sports.
Yeah.
I happen to be a huge Cubs fan, which is why I started listening to your radio show on that crappy station up north you used to work at, my dude.
Hey, you got pictures of that building too, bro?
Exactly. on that crappy station up north you used to work at, but I haven't listened to it since you left, but I find myself listening to this. And he sends me another message. He says, forgive me the long message because it's like a Bible. He said, I can tell you a quick story if you like. When I was deployed the last couple of weeks, I was still listening to your show, and you guys were making everybody laugh because of Jake's dating habits, the story you told about him breaking up with his girlfriend and the two of them really not caring about each other. Everybody in the truck was like, yeah, that's kind of how it is.
It is. I think that's real.
But here's his point, Stever, and if I'm not making your point properly, you let me know. Here's Stever's point.
Yeah.
That's what people care about.
Yeah.
Like, you come here because we talk about sports. Okay, yeah. Cool. I totally get that. But you're here because of Jake breaking up with his girlfriend and being like, yeah, we didn't really care. It was over.
Yeah.
And everybody at the bar or in the military truck was like, well, yeah, that's kind of how it is. Yeah. Totally get it. Yeah. Cool, dude. Nice job. Right. Like that's kind of what that's what sports is about.
Yeah.
And and not to have some big philosophical discussion about it, but I think sports is just that tie that binds us all together.
Yeah.
So when you meet for the first time and I'm wearing a Cubs hat and you're wearing a Cubs hat, like at Yelp the other day, this guy came and fixed my, I had a problem with like my GCal not giving me notifications.
Oh, right.
So an IT guy showed up and he's wearing a Cubs sweatshirt and hat. And he tells me this great story about Michael Jordan and how he shot baskets with Michael Jordan when he was a kid. And
that's awesome.
It's that tie that binds you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what Stever's point is.
Yeah.
You know, and Fat Jesus says, when are you going to talk about The Bachelor? Well, you know, Napa Mike, who, you know, by the way, this show is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Find Napa Mike's stores in El Mirage, Glendale, Peoria, Phoenix on Bell Road in the Scottsdale Air Park. My good friend, Rachel Lindsay, well, we're not good friends. We know each other because we work together at ESPN. She was at the game last night.
Right.
You know, like, and the Bachelor's amazing.
Right.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that
feels like a show that's fun to talk about, but you don't actually watch.
Yeah. Kev the Cougar on Twitter says, I'm here because of sports, but you guys are also big fans of the show Ozarks.
Let's go, bro.
He's here for sports.
Yeah,
but it's that Ozarks thing, right?
Yeah.
Like that.
Dude,
that's
so excited.
Yeah, and of course, what would this show be without Barry the New York Jew, who changed his name back to Barry the New York Jew? Barry says, same, Monty. I'm only here because you hate the Boston Red Sox.
Dude.
I'm a huge New York Yankee fan, and I love hearing you rip the Red Sox. And by the way, Jake's dating travails are off travails. So we've gotten procreatorial and travails
nice
now.
Nice job, guys.
Jake's dating travails are also quite fascinating. I think to wrap this up before we rip the Boston Red Sox,
wait,
frankly.
Do you guys hear that right now? Oh, that's the little violins in Boston going off. Let's go.
The point is, to wrap this up before we rip the Boston Red Sox, the bottom line is sports is the tie that binds, but life is what I think is what builds relationships. Yep. So the Monty Show is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Get your Napa know-how online because they have a great deal for you. Through the end of the weekend, you save $25 off instantly when placing an order online at NapaOnline.com. Of $125 or more, you instantly save $25 when you use the coupon code SAVE25 at NapaOnline.com. So you go to NapaOnline.com. Their full catalog is available to you at NapaOnline.com. You have that order shipped to your house. You spend $125 or more, and they give you an instant $25 savings. It's exactly, you know, why you go to Napa Auto Parts. And I know that I say this every day, but it's quality parts and good people at Napa Auto Parts, like our good friend Mike Conroy. Find him in El Mirage, Glendale, Peoria, Phoenix on Bell Road, and the Scottsdale Air Park. What the hell happened to the Houston Astros yesterday?
Dude.
And what I say happened was justice was served.
Hell yeah, it was.
To the Houston Astros. Jake laid out, tell us what happened and tell us about the penalties.
Yeah, well, I mean, just in layman's terms, they cheated. And they cheated by stealing signs using technology and equipment off of the field. And so I think this conversation has been going on in baseball for a long, long time, right? And I think nobody's ever done it to this extent where they've legitimately, you know, got cameras fixed on home plate with a feed, you know, at the bottom of the dugout, right? Just off of the dugout so you can't see it on live TV, right? Nobody's ever done that. And so now to take it to this level and sort of, you know, I think I saw on Twitter somebody said, you know, the Houston Astros robbed baseball of its integrity. I think that's a great way to put it. You know, you intentionally went out of your way to gain an advantage instead of earning your wins. You basically entered a cheat code in a video game, you know? And so I think when you do that, you earn the penalties that you got. So the idea that yesterday, you know, you've got basically everybody, AJ Hinch, the GM, getting fired, and fined, and suspended.
AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, both got suspended for a year. Yeah. Then they got fired.
Yeah.
The Astros got fined $5 million, and they lost several draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's completely justified. I like it. I would even go as far as to say I think there should be conversations about the next person who gets caught doing this. So not Cora with the Red Sox, but the next person who gets caught doing this. There should be a penalty for never being allowed back in the game. I really think that should be a conversation.
This is the conversation that I think needs to be had.
Yeah.
Can AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the former manager of the Astros, by the way, the owner fired him as soon as you know that this was announced, should they ever be allowed to work in baseball again?
I mean, I don't think so, but that's just my opinion. I mean, you knew what was going on. You know, this is like what happens with in politics or anything else, right? You knew it was going on and you didn't do anything about it, so you're just as guilty as the person who set up the TV and the garbage can and ran the wire from the camera to the back of the dugout. I mean,
now Jeff Luhnow says he's not a cheater.
Okay, well, Jeff Luhnow, you're wrong. You knew it was going on. I don't buy for a second you didn't know.
So, in my opinion, Jeff Luhnow is a cheater.
Yeah.
I think AJ Hinch is a cheater. And I think they stole a World Series.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should ever be allowed to work in baseball again. And I know that when I said that on Twitter yesterday, that a lot of Arizonans, because AJ Hinch has a lot of ties to the Diamondbacks, that pissed a lot of people off. But sorry, you're the manager of the Houston Astros. Your team was caught using video to steal signs and then relaying those signs that they stole, banging on garbage cans. And there is rock solid proof that A, they did in fact break the signs and knew what pitch was coming. B, they relayed that through noise to the plate, and the Astros wound up winning a World Series that year. And mind you, their home stats were incredibly higher, like exponentially better than their stats on the road. It's called a home road split in baseball. Their splits at home were significantly better than their splits on the road. It wasn't an accident they won the World Series. In my opinion, the Astros cheated their way to a World Series. And what are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, well, let's put an asterisk next to them?
I think you should strip them of the World Series.
How? You're just not going to have a World Champion that year?
Yeah, you're not going to have a World Champion that year. Sorry, Dodgers, you lost out. You lost the game, right? Just because the Astros are better at home doesn't mean that that's why the Dodgers lost at home. So I don't want to hear Dodger fans saying, well, you know, the Astros were only able to beat us because they, you know, were able to win back home.
I hear you on that.
But they should strip the World Series. Like take it away. Say, hey, we don't have a World Series winner this year because the Astros went ahead and cheated. I'm totally comfortable with that.
What about the Red Sox now?
Yeah, the Red Sox should be exact same boat, dude.
By the way, what the Red Sox are accused of is just as bad. And I hope that we realize this.
Yeah.
What the Astros did was really bad. Okay? I mean, really bad. But what the Red Sox did was also really bad. The Red Sox were going down to their video room and stealing the sequence of signs that were being given at third base and at home plate through video. That's illegal.
Yeah.
Was it as egregious as relaying it to the plate? Yeah, it was, because cheating's cheating.
Yeah, we're talking about doing 100 on the freeway as opposed to doing 105. I mean, it's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. I mean, it's not about the physical act of stealing signs. It's about the thought process that went into saying, "Hey, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna steal these signs so that we can gain a competitive advantage instead of earning it and doing it the right way." And I feel like AJ Hinch, you know, I respected the hell out of AJ Hinch. I thought he was a great manager. Thought he was doing a great job, great process.
Like, yep,
and then it comes out that you're cheating and stealing signs, and then you want to say, "Oh, well, yeah, I knew about it, but I'm not going to do anything about it."
No, what AJ Hinch was saying, I think what AJ Hinch was saying, in my opinion, was I knew about it. I told him not to do it, and they did it anyway. Hey, Dick, you walked by that setup every single day.
You're the manager of the team, guy. It's not good enough to say, "Oh, well, they just went against my word." That's not how it works.
The same thing with Jeff Luhnow, now that their baseball guru. Right? You did great job. And the sad thing about Jeff Luhnow is that he built a juggernaut of an organization.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you can't tell me you didn't cheat. You can't tell me you didn't know, because if you didn't know, you're incompetent and you should have been fired anyway.
Yeah.
My point is, they drafted really well, they developed really well, and then they didn't have confidence in the players that they had drafted and developed. They decided they had to cheat.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to see their World Series stripped. It's clearly not going to happen, but it's another humiliating experience for this franchise.
Yeah.
And whether it goes back to, you know, the hacking incident and scandal that happened, you know, it goes back to this domestic violence thing with, you know, Osuna and their assistant GM who got fired. Now on top of this sign stealing thing, like, it's, if you're the Houston Astros, you're a complete embarrassment to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And it's not once, it's not twice, it's three times, it's four times.
Yep.
And yet you have an owner that's a billionaire and you find him $5 million, right? That's like finding me a buck.
Yep.
Like, it means nothing to him.
$1.3 billion evaluation.
This guy, I'm telling you, the punishment was not enough.
Yeah.
The punishment did not fit the crime, and I don't believe that the punishment will deter the next person.
Yeah.
Because there's too much money on the line not to be doing what they were doing. Because guys like Jose Altuve got paid off of that. You know, you look at it, you just look at all of the things that happened and all of the guys who got extensions and got paid, and Dallas Keuchel, and Dallas Keuchel's resume, his career is built on winning a World Series. Right? Like Correa and Altuve. And I mean, pick the guy.
Keuchel's a great example, though, right? Like, I mean, for him, like, I don't think he was cheating. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. You
but
know,
now,
as a
he was,
pitcher,
now he's a cheater.
Is he, though?
Yes.
As a pitcher, you're a cheater?
Yes. Yeah, sorry. You won games because your team was stealing signs.
Yeah.
Right? They scored more runs very clearly because their team was stealing signs. Bo Sox on Twitter said, "Let's not overreact. The Red Sox didn't win a championship doing this." But
it doesn't matter, dude.
Alex Cora was working for the Astros at that time.
Yeah.
Right? B, we know that there was an ongoing systematic stealing of signs in Boston. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I get it. Real Fat Jesus says, why are the players off the hook when are their suspensions coming? I usually just listen and just now saw the goatee. Did you lose a bet?
That's cold, bro. That's cold. Bro.
Happy wife, happy life.
Dude.
You've taken
some heat this round.
I have taken a lot of heat over this, Fat Jesus, so you're not the only one. I think I told this story on the show yesterday. We were playing basketball. We play a lot of basketball on the weekends. And I walked into the gym, and I hadn't seen this kid that we were playing with for a long time. And he literally called me old man, talking about how, are you growing a beard? Call me old man. Somebody at work the other day guessed that I was in my middle 50s. Right? Like, I do this once a year, and I do it because my wife likes it, right? I don't hate it, and this year has been a lot easier. I usually do it from about Halloween through my birthday. My birthday is February 19th, and usually I shave it around my birthday. Last year, I made a horrendous mistake, grooming the mustache part of it, so I wound up shaving it off early. Yeah, like I remember it. I was trimming my lip and I went, and like, and there was no way around it, right? But I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I'm indifferent. It makes me look older.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes me look older. So.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It is what it is. What would you do to the – before we get out of here, what would you do to the Boston Red Sox?
It would be very similar to what the Astros got. I don't remember who you said it, but I think, yeah, the suspensions for the players, I mean, there should definitely be conversations about that. And I get that you can't –
Fat Jesus said that.
Yeah, I think I agree that you can't suspend every single player who is involved for an entire season because then you're taking a team off the field, essentially. I agree that the Astros could find a way to backfill that, but that's a little unrealistic, I feel like.
Why do people send me Instagram messages, bro? You know I'm doing the show on Twitter and Periscope. Why are you sending me a message through – like, I don't understand why do you – like.
Okay, what did the message say, though?
My friend Corey,
mm-hmm.
who I work with this guy back in like 2010
okay.
in Los Angeles, like, yeah. and we've just kept in touch.
Right, yeah.
He said, as a Dodger fan, I'm very bitter about this. We should have won those games whether they stole signs or not, but now we'll never know, and that's the point.
Well.
That is the point, Corey. You're exactly right.
How do you think you, Darvish, feels?
He had a great tweet yesterday. I don't know that, you Darvish got rung up, like it derailed his career.
Yeah.
For a year.
Yeah.
When he ran into the Astros in that World Series. Yu Darvish said, quote, if the Dodgers are planning a 2017 World Series parade, I would love to join. So if that is in the works, can someone make a You Garbage jersey for me?
Yeah.
I love that Yu Darvish laughs at himself.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Anyway, I think Alex Cora, AJ Hinch should never be allowed to manage another game in the big leagues. I just think that's
I don't think that's unfair. Like, I think it's accurate. Like, dude, you made a decision to cheat the game. Like, now it's time for you to go.
Now you got caught. You
by
knew
the way,
what you were doing.
By the way, if we're gonna allow these guys to continue to participate,
don't say
in the
his
game,
name.
What? Whose name?
Pete, are you gonna bring up Pete Rose?
I was just gonna bring up everybody. Like, I think this just sets a precedent to re-bring up like Barry Bonds and like every name that's ever been controversial,
off.
Dude.
Please don't. No.
But it does,
no,
dude.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it. Oh my God.
What do they both share?
Why do you bring this
what
up when we're about
share?
To play the music?
What do they both
why
share?
Why do you do this?
What do they both share?
No,
bro?
They both share that you're a dick. You cannot
they
bring up Barry Bonds
share,
with 1 minute to go in the
they
show.
They both share cheating the game.
Okay, Barry Bonds completely changed the fabric of baseball.
So did the Astros.
No, they didn't. They won one World Series. Okay? It's one World Series, one moment in time. Barry Bonds rewrote the record books by putting stuff in things in his body. Why would you bring that up in 1 minute to go in the show? Anyway, the Monty Show is presented by Napa Auto Parts.
It Get your Napa Series Legend battery.
Right now at participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care Centers, buy a Legend or a Legend Premium battery and get a $20 coupon towards your next purchase at Napa Auto Parts. That's your Napa know-how in El Mirage, Peoria, Glendale, Phoenix on Bell Road, and the Scottsdale Air Park.
Don't hate.
I cannot believe you did that. This show is also brought to you by Arrowhead BMW, arrowheadbmw.com. Right off the 101 freeway in Glendale at the Beardsley Union Hills exit. It's all about you at Arrowhead BMW. Until tomorrow, Barry Bonds, say goodbye.
Goodbye.